The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza. Find Connie's wherever frozen pizzas are sold. Bring home the best today. Connie's. Pizzeria quality no matter how you slice it.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio, you're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow the show on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day!
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
That's right, every Wednesday, 5 o'clock. He's brought to you by Waddle's Guys.
HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW. All in one place, HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Was in an Uber going up to your town of Lake Forest for a little dinner at Deer Path Inn when we got the text sent to you and me over Dalen Terry going down.
Yeah.
Michael was sending the text, and he was at the game, and thankfully it wasn't a knee injury. It was, what, a hamstring?
It was
that's,
a hammy.
That's what it ended up being. Yeah. So I guess that was good news, wasn't it, Wilbon?
Yeah, it was. And he was sitting on the bench by the end of the very end of the game and, you know, walking around, and it didn't look like it was, you hope it's not major. You hope it's not the kind of thing that flares up. You know, hammies are crazy when he first gets to camp or whenever he's working out for the rest of the summer. So it was interesting to watch. I mean, I wanted to watch that Bulls game to see if, is it Seminovich? Is that how he pronounces it? I wanted to see if he could play. I wanted to see what Terry's deal is. I want to see if there's anybody else on that team that makes you think Ben Wallace, a guy who's undrafted, who's in the Hall of Fame now. Is there somebody like that? That's why I'm looking at Summer League. I don't care who wins the games. The Bulls, have clearly, they care. Of course they should. The Bulls will put together a really nice Summer League program. The team they have, those kids should care about winning a game and playing as well as they can play to impress somebody, if not the NBA in Europe or wherever, worldwide. It's a worldwide sport. And so, but I, on the other hand, don't have that same that same burning interest. I wanted to see who might be able to help this team soon. And I don't know that I saw a positive answer from what I saw in that one game.
What do you think of Terry? What do you think? What role do you think he can play?
Stuff. I mean, he's active. I mean, I hate when people say he's got fast twitch, but he does. He's bouncy. He's live. He can move. He can defend. Seems like he can move the ball. The thing I didn't see, and I don't think anybody else can say they saw, was shooting. That's also the one thing you can learn to do and get better at over time. We've seen people do that. Did Jimmy Butler shoot when he first came in the league? No.
Lonzo.
Draft night? No. So this guy has some of that. He's wiry. He's not the same kind of build as Jimmy. But he's wiry and quick and tough, tenacious. He's got some stuff. You look at him and go, okay, where can we fit this guy in on a team that is defensively challenged? That's what you're looking at, to me, with him.
You know, Zach Lowe did a podcast, and I was glad that it was brought up nationally because it seems like it's just on this show or on ESPN 1000 or when we talk to you about the Bulls, that he was surprised that they've been, he called it Bulls silence. That this is a team, you know, Miami's always looking to improve. They're better than the Bulls. The Celtics did improve with a couple of different players that they acquired, and they were in the NBA Finals. Everyone's always improving. The Bulls, to run it back and not being a young team that is like 25 years old altogether and growing, I don't know what the plan is here on how to get to the championship level.
Well, first of all, they did improve. They did this last year.
Well, no, I mean, but they went from
10th or 11th or whatever. No, it's lower than 10th because they weren't even in the play-in.
Well, they got DeMar.
They went from that to a one seed for about a month. So they did, I would take exception, they did that. Now, they need to do it again, to your point. They need to do it again. I'm not going to make it seem like they just stood pat last year because they didn't. The question is, when Kevin Durant became available, how did that change everything for all the teams that were in it? The Bulls clearly got outbid, and understandably so, on the Rudy Gobert front. The Bulls don't have the pick to get in that derby. They don't have the assets. So Minnesota was in that because Minnesota had gathered some picks and done some things. The Bulls couldn't do that. No matter how much they wanted to get, maybe wanted to get Rudy Gobert, they didn't have what Danny Ainge was asking for. So they missed out. They got beat out there. They were never going to get Kevin Durant because, again, the Bulls don't even have next year's first-round pick. So they don't have a haul of picks to offer anybody. So we have to be realistic about what they can do. And what one thing we can do is draft well at the bottom of the first round. Again, Jimmy Butler. We're using him as an example. That's the way you get better. So is Dallin Terry or Dalen Terry, is he that? It doesn't look like it, but we didn't think Jimmy Butler was that either. So, and here's the other thing. If they were going to pull off a trade, but it involved somebody who wound up going elsewhere, whether it was Rudy Gobert or whether it's DeAndre Ayton, I mean, you have pieces now that can't be moved or can't be moved in your interests because of developments that have evolved. And so I don't know if the Bulls were involved in DeAndre Ayton, but once Indiana signed him and once Phoenix matched, that's it. That's it. There's no getting DeAndre Ayton. So how many guys came off the market that the Bulls might have been interested in? I don't know. I'm not covering the Bulls on a daily basis. Casey Johnson would know that or have some idea of that. So do I think the Bulls were just being silent? No. They got beat to the punch. They were trying, and they got beat out. That's a big difference than staying silent.
Right now, as they sit, are they closer to being the 8th seed or the 1 seed?
No, they're closer to being the 8th seed. I mean, they're no better than they were on the last day of last season, except if they're healthy. So if they're healthy, how far can they climb? Well, they were 6th, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they can climb any higher than 5th.
Right.
I don't know that. I don't really think so. Well, although Brooklyn's going to drop if they trade Durant.
But they were behind them anywhere.
They were in front of Brooklyn anyway.
Yeah.
So are they behind Boston? Yes. Are they behind Miami? Yes. Probably. Are they behind, and they could be behind Cleveland if Cleveland stays healthy.
What right? about Atlanta? Atlanta got the Murray.
I don't trust Atlanta. I don't trust Atlanta yet. No, the Bulls finished ahead of Atlanta. Are they behind Philly? Yes, they're behind Philly. We're looking at a fifth-place team at best, probably. Last year, we thought we were looking at a team that the odds makers said couldn't even make the playoffs. They got that wrong. So, let's see where are they finished. Like, remember when the Durant domino falls, there's going to be some other stuff going on. I don't know what, and that's a big if. I think Durant will very well be on Brooklyn next season.
I was going to ask you, is the Durant domino going to fall? Because now it's been quiet.
I don't know. I spent a couple of days, you guys mentioned me being in Vegas. That's what you do when you're there. You're talking to everybody under the sun. And I talk to people who don't believe he's going to be moved.
What is that like? So is it a bunch of movers and shakers and front office people, even though that these are summer league games? Is this a who's who?
It's the whole league.
It's the entire league.
Is it? Yeah. Yeah, owners, coaches, head coaches in some cases. Yes, GMs, assistant GMs, scouts, everybody, players. LeBron was there.
Yeah.
So everybody's there for a minute, at least. There's a smattering. There's some of everybody. There's not 32 owners or 30 owners, but there's some owners. There's some coaches. And I say owners, I mean, you know, executives. Let me not say owners. Front office executives. Yes, that's what they do. This is a big convention. That is the NBA's summer convention where people talk each other up. Somebody wrote a real descriptive piece about describing the conversation between two executives earlier in the week before I got there. So that's what they do. And that's the fun of going there. It's something where everybody seems welcome. You know, and people are sitting around hotel lobbies or, you know, in the gym. There are two different gyms and they're playing in them. And hotel lobbies, gym, you know, the space between the Cox Center and Thomas and Mack. Hotel lobbies, like I said, dinners. I mean, everybody in the NBA is in and out of there in that week period, July 7th through July 17th, the end of Sunday.
Oh, so are you working or are you taking, does Matthew get to go as well?
No, Matthew didn't get to go. Matthew has his own basketball, which I'm back on the scene for now.
Okay, I heard that. So give me a scouting report.
Yeah, I literally just drove here from D.C. I know nothing.
I want a scouting report on Matthew as a player.
On your son,
listen, he's still a scrawny little kid. He's got, hopefully his father's genetic makeup will not let him down.
Yeah, but he's got access to Chris Paul, who's arguably the best point guard in all of the league.
Yeah, well, unless Chris is going to physically will that stuff, genetically will it to him, he's still got my gene pool. So that competition here in Virginia Beach will start tomorrow. But it was interesting being, I wasn't working technically. But what does that mean? You guys know this. You're in the same boat as I am. You're not working, and you wind up standing talking to a couple of assistant GMs. Are you working then or not? Are you not, listening?
Sylvie's never not working. Sylvie's always getting an angle. I'm usually at the bar trying to get a drink.
I was like, hey, leave me alone. Yeah. I don't want to talk to
you. Sylvie would have been really comfy in Vegas. And so that's, I went to sort of, it's see and be seen. My bosses, our bosses are there, were there. Agents, as I tick down the list of people who run teams, CBA, not CBA anymore, what's it called? G League teams. Yeah. I mean, you got young, just really capable go-getters who are going to be running NBA teams in 6 or 8 or 10 years or 15 years. They're running G League teams now. They're there. They know every G League guy who can play and who can't. There's international basketball people there. You can walk into a lobby and not hear English spoken because there's international people who know every international player, and that's why they're in Vegas.
So
that's why being there is fascinating, to be honest.
Yeah. You have very few vices. We have long joked that because you don't really drink, you have a taffy apple and you call it a day. So when you're in Vegas, are you playing any table games?
No. I refuse to stay in hotels anymore where I have to walk through the casino first.
You're in the luxurious Vegas hotels now.
That's right. I'm in the Waldorf. That's why I don't mind saying I'm in the Waldorf when I'm in Vegas now.
Yes.
It's a hotel. I'm in the Four Seasons. I'm not a gambler. So I have no interest in that.
Did you take your golf clubs with you?
No, I did not. Because I knew I was going to spend my time in gyms. I was going to be a gym rat for 2 days. So that's what I did. I stayed in the gym for Saturday and Sunday, talking to whomever. People come up to you. They introduce themselves. I had young players come up and say, Mr. Wilbon, I've been watching PTI since I was 2 with my dad. And I was drafted, so-and-so by the so-and-so. These are NBA players about to be. I'll say one of them, Peyton Watson, was just charming. UCLA kid, I think he was drafted 30th. And it was just, you're there in an environment where if you want to absorb yourself in ball, you can. So that's what I was there for, nothing else.
Okay, as somebody who covers all of these sports, have you been able to tuck basketball away and start to get geared up for football season or no?
No, and I won't. I mean, I'll do that. I'm not kid camp. I don't care about NFL camps. I care about the season. And so I'll start paying attention when they get to preseason games. I know.
Are you excited, though, that the football season is almost upon us?
No, I'm not. I'm never excited about any season being almost.
Just end it there. You're never excited about anything.
No, but this is the hype. I'm not even upset with people who market the sport. I get upset with the people who just are into the hype. On our network, we're only 47 days away from the start of training camp. Shut up.
That's me.
You sound like a hypester. Get pom-poms in your hand. I don't want to hear that. I don't care about that. That's just junk. Nor am I going to want to care about being 10 days away from the start of NBA training camp. I don't care about that.
Are you looking forward?
14 days from the start of spring training. So what? Let's
get to the season. Are you looking forward to the beginning of the NFL regular season?
No. It's in September. This is July. No. I'm excited about baseball. That's actually being played.
Let me ask you about that. Do you have any D.C. intel on Juan Soto?
No. Years ago, you guys could ask me that, and I would have gone, as you know. I would have gone to some D.C., some national games. I don't go to that anymore. No, I go to more Diamondbacks games, and I go to national. I go to, obviously, more Cubs games. No, I have no intel on, what the Nationals are going to do and why a guy would turn down $440 million. But I care about those stories. I care about baseball. I care about golf. You want to talk about Lynn versus the PGA Tour?
Yes.
I'm neck deep in that.
Okay.
I'm neck deep in tennis and the new phenoms who are knocking Djokovic and Nadal, and I'm interested in that. But I'm not interested in 100 days out pro football. I'm interested in the Big Ten and what they're doing.
Yes.
Just annexing entire leagues. But the notion that people need to sit around saying, we're 47 days out from the start of training camp. And you can't even get in the training camp. You can't see football practices anymore like they did when I was covering a game, when I was covering pro football. You have to actually go in and watch practice. You can't do that anymore. So why the hell would I be excited? People just want to love football. And so that's what they're reduced to. Just celebrating the mere sight of it like they're, land hole in a bird's nest on a ship looking for land. I'm not that dude.
Sylvie takes one piece of clothing off every day we get closer to the NFL season.
Absolutely.
Sylvie's got a lot of days left.
It's called strip football.
Before we get to anything meaningful. And here's the worst part. Even Matthew says this to me every day. He goes, Dad, we stink. Did you hear Keyshawn Johnson's rant? Did you guys play that?
Yes. Yeah, so
we're not.
They have like four players who are good, or four players who would start on any other team.
They have no team. They have no squad.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, pro football is a sport where people go from last to first, and that's the one sport where people truly shock you.
Yeah.
Like basketball, one of the rare things about last NBA season was that people shocked you last season. The Bulls for half the year. They don't. In the NFL, it happens all the time. So I'm holding out some bizarre, probably fraudulent hope that they've discovered something that the rest of us don't know about. But just looking at it as somebody who's covered the league for a lot of years, I look at the Bears and just think, my God, we stink.
Yeah, we do. So let's not talk about them. Let's talk about our buddy Charles Barkley possibly going to cover golf for the LIV Tour. What can you tell us?
Well, I don't know that we're that far down the line yet. I mean, they have to talk to him. They reached out to talk to him. He made that public, so I don't feel like
what would that contract look like for Chuck to leave?
Okay. That's a great question. And by the way, that's why it's, people are texting me saying, oh, Charles, talk to you. What do you make of it? There's nothing to make of anything yet because we haven't made an offer.
Right.
But what would that look like? That's a great question. And yes, Charles and I do talk about it. And I'm very conflicted, as I told you guys. I mean, I'm a Washington Post columnist. So was Jamal Khashoggi, who was murdered by the Saudis. Okay? I occupied a position under the same title at that same publication for 30 years. So I'm not detached or removed from what happened to him. On the other hand, I don't believe anybody's money is clean. Don't tell me that a government was sanctioned the separation of children from their parents at the Mexican border is not, it is like constantly on the right side of human rights. Don't want to hear that. Don't want to hear it. So the holier than thou people, I don't want to hear from them. Whose money is clean? Germany's money?
Nobody's money is 100% clean.
Michael.
So that is the position in which I take I said to Charles, I think you should listen. You got to talk to them. You got to listen. Sit down and have a conversation. You can always say no. I mean, and so somebody said to me, would I sit down and have a conversation? I don't know what the answer to that is. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and be a hypocrite and say, oh, I'm not going to do it. I wouldn't do it in a million years. I don't know that. But don't tell me anybody's money is clean. I'm hearing that from people in the golf business.
Right.
Really? A business which has been exclusionary on its face and excluded people who look like me until about 1995? Are you kidding me? So I got to hear about people being holier than now? Sorry, not hearing it, not buying it, not even, and not trying to excuse what the Saudis have done. Acknowledge it up front. Believe they haven't even bothered to deny the murder of Khashoggi. Now, I'm sorry, this is a government, ours, which does business right now with China. We got athletes, we got women basketball players, Brittany Griner, who've been going to play with Russia. What does Russia's human rights resume look like? And how many of our women are going to play in Russia every year? And has anybody said jack about that? China? We got athletes taking guaranteed sums from Asian countries, including, hello, China. Is Nike not doing business there? So now we're going to isolate Liz and say, oh, no, you can't talk to them. But all these other places, we, the United States of America, wasn't Joe Biden just there? So our government is open for business with people whose human rights resumes are frightening. But yet, this one thing, we're going to say, oh, you know, no, we can't have DJ doing that. He's a traitor, he and Phil.
I'm hoping that Charles gets a five-year, $100 million contract, $20 million a year.
Well, that might be a pay decrease. And that's why, going back to your question about what would the contract look like, I mean, it would have to be so substantial. And by the way, so you guys are going to get me in trouble.
No, we're not trying to get you in trouble.
Keep going. Yeah, I want to hear.
Look, so we got Amazon, we got Liv, we got all these entities. Fox, who did Tom Brady sign with?
Tom Brady signed with Fox as soon as he's done playing.
We got all these people throwing around tens and scores and hundreds of millions of dollars. Let me ask you something. As you sit on the other end of the phone talking to somebody you know well, any people of color get any of this money? Any black people getting any of this money in broadcast or sports? Any of them? Let me know. Let me know the first black person. I'm glad. Hey, and I'm not begrudging my white friends and colleagues who are getting it.
I would say Chuck would be the only name I could give you.
Yeah, so far.
Would be, yeah.
So far. How many people of color in that conversation so far? The answer is none.
Yeah.
Okay? None. So what are you talking? So we're talking exclusion. So we should be the ones who are saying no to conversations. And I will say this: if Charles Barkley sits and talks with them, and if Charles entertains an offer, all of a sudden that opens up other doors. And don't tell me it's bad to be rich and it's bad for black people to take somebody's money, blood money, but other people's hands are particularly clean. I'm not hearing that, and I'd like to say a word I'm not going to say on your show. I'm not hearing any of that. So these are complex questions. They are complicated, layered issues. I'm not sure what I would do. I find what has happened to put this in the conversation on the front burner. It's reprehensible. But you're going to tell me they're the only ones? See, that I don't want to hear.
Right.
And so I don't know what it would do. I don't know what doors would open into whom if they come and sit down with Charles Wade Barkley. But you know what Charles is often? Charles is often the first one. And Charles also knows how to expand the conversation. And, yes, he and I have talked about that. And I'm not really saying anything I haven't said to you guys on PTI, other than the last thing I just said about people of color. So everybody's supposed to be in line for their 200 or 200 million except us. Sorry.
No, I think the Waddle and Sylvie show is advocating for Charles to get a $100 million deal.
Well, again, that's a pay cut.
A pay
listen
cut?
To
really?
Me carefully.
Really?
Listen,
he told
listen,
us he made like three.
To me.
He told me he made like $3 million a year.
Yeah, in 1994 for the Suns.
He was lying to me? What?
You think, come on, you think
no, Sylvie flat out asked him how much the TNT much? Pays him. He's like $2 or $3 million, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he was pulling your leg.
Okay.
I think that, you know, listen, the conversation's going to be more ramped up if Charles considers it or even takes a meeting than it is for any golfer who's not named Tiger.
Can he potentially do both? Like, that would be ideal.
I have no idea. They haven't talked to him yet. I don't know. Remember, this is all theory. This is all theory. This is all when we sit down to talk. What were they at?
Did Charles tell you what his number is? Did he say 250,
no,
250 million, and we got a deal?
We didn't talk about any of that. We talked about the very serious nature of sitting to talk.
Right. So you guys, I mean, like, I don't mean to trivialize it, and we're having a laugh at it, but it sounds like you and Charles had a really meaningful, deep conversation about things that are, you know, as you know, are more than about money.
My text chain with a couple, but one is particularly important with guys who, I think in every case went to Northwestern, maybe. We're talking about a Stanford lawyer after his undergraduate days at Northwestern. We're talking about my brother, a banker. We're talking about everybody. I'm the least educated guy on the text chain. Probably the only one with one degree. And we are screaming at each other on text about Liv and about Saudi money. These are serious conversations. These are not, there's nothing joking about any of it. We're going at it. And we are all friends, thank God. Deep friendships over, in some cases, 45 years since we were freshmen in college. We're going at it. We're talking about Harvard lawyers and Stanford lawyers and bankers. And again, I'm the least educated person in the damn text chain. And we're going at it because these are serious issues. And Charles knows that. And that's why look, people can think that Charles goes off the cuff. He doesn't. Charles Barkley generates more conversations and is involved in more conversations when thinking about even small things that he's going to do. And, boy, what do you think about this? That's where a lot of conversations start with Charles and his friends.
He's the most influential sports media guy in the business.
Oh, it's not even close.
Yeah, not close.
Yes. And so this is not some half-baked thing. Oh, Charles is getting off the golf course. He's going to go talk to the Liv people. No, this isn't that. This is considering all the ramifications, and then some, and then some more, and then some more. What would this do with his legacy? And I hate the legacy talk, but Charles is 60 years old, or almost. He's at the point where you do consider your legacy. And what does that mean? And does it mean that Joe Buck wouldn't have to consider his legacy? But again, black people have to give special consideration above and beyond what our white colleagues do? I don't know the answer to that. But those things are all on the table for discussion, and they have to be.
Good stuff, Wilbon. Yep. Really, really meaningful conversation. Thank you.
Hey, and best of luck to Matthew and his tournament.
Yeah, I'm a nervous wreck. I mean, Tommy, you've already been through this. Sylvie has yet to go through it. He will. But, Tommy, how did you stay calm watching this?
I drank a lot.
Which you don't do.
Yeah.
Stand in the corner of the gym.
Just sit over to the side by yourself. Yeah.
It's hard.
Yes, it is.
It's hard.
It is.
All right, you guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
Michael Wilbon. When we come back, today's a very, very special day. We will relive a very memorable moment from a Hall of Fame guy coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
You know, today is Jimmy V week. It's ESPYs tonight. And you're going to get Dick Vitale. It's a full circle. Dick Vitale, who, you know, was helping Jimmy V on the stage of the ESPYs where the V Foundation was established and created. He announced that he was creating the foundation. Jimmy V was right there by his side. Today, Jimmy V gets the award. And, you know, he's coming off of not only beating cancer, and he's in remission, but he's also coming off of vocal cord surgery. So I don't know what where he is as far as public speaking. Mm-hmm. If he can speak, I think it's going to be a very memorable one. But, you know, as it's very close to us here, with everything this station has gone through. We recently lost Jeff Dickerson. Fred Huebner went through the fight. I went through the fight recently. We lost Matt Haller to stomach cancer. We have battled as a station for many, many years. Caitlin, JD's wife, lost a battle to cancer.
Fred Huebner's wife as well.
Yeah, and just this station has been hit hard. We've long taken your phone calls to raise awareness. And the one thing I'll say, too, is this. This is very important to me because I knew something was wrong with me 2 years ago. And I'm good with going to my doctors, getting my yearly physical. And I told my doctor I felt tired. I didn't feel like myself. And he first sent me to a psychologist because he thought I had anxiety. And I do have anxiety, but he thought that was the core of the problem. And I knew something was wrong. So I am telling all the men out there, because men oftentimes don't go to the doctor when they should. Go to the doctor. Be your advocate. You are your advocate. And if you don't feel like yourself, you tell that to your doctor. And even if tests don't show it and you don't think something's right, you speak up. It's very, very important. Awareness is very important in all this. Raising money, V.org is where you go for the V Foundation. On SB Day, we always like to look back on the Jimmy V speech. It's memorable. It's entertaining. It's meaningful. And it started it all. This was Jim Valvano establishing the V Foundation.
I can't tell you what an honor it is to even be mentioned in the same breath with an Arthur Ashe. This is something I certainly will treasure forever. But as was said on the tape, I don't have one of those things going to cue cards, so I'm going to speak longer than anybody else has spoken tonight. That's the way it goes. Time is very precious to me. I don't know how much I have left, and I have some things that I would like to say, hopefully. At the end, I'll have something that will be important to other people, too. But I can't help it. Now when I'm fighting cancer, everybody knows that. And people ask me all the time about how you go through your life and how's your day. And nothing has changed for me, as Dick said. I'm a very emotional, passionate man. I can't help it. That's being the son of Rocco and Angelina Valvano. That just comes with the territory, right? We hug, we kiss, we love. And when people say to me, how do you get through life or each day, it's the same thing. To me, there are three things we all should do every day. We do this every day of our life. You're going to have, what a wonderful, number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. And number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day. You do that 7 days a week, you're going to have something special. And so, I can't help. I rode on the plane up today with Mike Krzyzewski, my good friend and a wonderful coach, but people don't realize he's a 10 times better person than he is a coach. And we know he's a great coach. He's meant a lot to me in these last 5 or 6 months of my battle. But when I look at Mike, I think we competed against each other as players. I coached against him for 15 years. And I always have to think about what's important in life is to think to me of three things. Where you started, where you are, and where you're going to be. Those are the three things that I try and do every day. And, you know, when I think about getting up and giving a speech, I can't help it. I have to remember the first speech I ever gave. I was coaching at Rutgers University. That was my first job. Wonderful. And I was the freshman coach. That's when freshmen played on freshman team. And I was so fired up about my first job. I see Lou Holtz, Coach Holtz here. What was it like the first job you had, right? The very first time you stood in the locker room to give a pep talk. That's a special place, the locker room, for a coach to give a talk. So my idol as a coach was Vince Lombardi. And I read this book called Commitment to Excellence by Vince Lombardi. And in the book, Lombardi talked about the first time he spoke before his Green Bay Packer team in the locker room. There were perennial losers. And I'm reading this, and Lombardi said he was thinking, should it be a long talk, a short talk? But he wanted to be emotional. He said, be brief. And this is what he did. He normally, you get in the locker room, I don't know, 25 minutes, a half hour before the team takes the field. you do your little X and O's, and then you give the great Newt Rockne talk. We all do. Speech number 84. You pull them right out. You get ready. Get your squad ready. This is the first one I ever gave. And I read this thing, Lombardi. What he said was he didn't go in. He waited. His team was wondering, where is he? Where is this great coach? He's not there. 10 minutes. He's still not there. 3 minutes before they have to take the field, Lombardi comes in, bangs the door open. And I think you all remember what great presence he had. Right, great presence. And he walked in, and he just walked back and forth like this, just staring at the players. And he said, all eyes on me. And I'm reading this in this book, and I'm getting a picture of this Lombardi before his first game. And he said, gentlemen, we will be successful this year. You can focus on three things and three things only: your family, your religion, and the Green Bay Packers. And he like that. And the rest of it, they knocked the walls down. The rest was history. I said, that's beautiful. I'm going to do that. Your family, your religion, and Rutgers basketball. That's it. I had it. I'm 21 years old. The kids I'm coaching are 19. All right? And I'm going to be the greatest coach in the world, the next Lombardi. And I'm ready. And I'm practicing out in right beside the locker room. The manager's telling me, you got to go in. Not yet. Family, religion, Rutgers basketball. All eyes on me. I got it. And now finally he said, 3 minutes. I said, fine. True story. I go to knock the doors open just like Lombardi. Boom! He didn't open. I almost broke my arm. I was like, it was when it didn't open. Now I'm down. The players are looking. Coach, help the coach up. Help him up. And now I did like Lombardi. I walked back and forth. Right? And I was going like that. My arm get the feeling back in it. And finally I said, gentlemen, all eyes on me. These kids wanted to play. They're 19. Let's go. I said, gentlemen, we'll be successful this year if you can focus on three things and three things only. They said, yeah. I said, your family, your religion, and the Green Bay Packers, I told you. I did that. I remember that. I remember where I came from. It's so important to know where you are. And I know where I am right now. How do you go from where you are to where you want to be? And I think you have to have an enthusiasm for life. You have to have a dream, a goal. You have to be willing to work for it. I talked about my family. My family is so important. People think I have courage. The courage of my family is my wife, Pam, my three daughters here, Nicole, Jamie, Leanne, my mom, who is right here, too. And that screen is flashing up there 30 seconds. Like, I care about that screen right now, huh? I got tumors all over my body. I'm worried about some guy in the back going 30 seconds, huh? You got a lot. Hey, phenomenal, buddy. You got a lot. Can I get this? Are you kidding me? I just got one last thing. I urge all of you, to enjoy your life, the precious moments you have, to spend each day with some laughter and some thought, to get your emotions going, to be enthusiastic every day. And Ralph Waldo Emerson said, nothing great can be accomplished without enthusiasm. To keep your dreams alive in spite of problems, whatever you have, to be able to work hard for your dreams to become a reality. Now I look at where I am now, and I know what I want to do. What I would like to be able to do is to spend whatever time I have left and to give and maybe some hope to others. All right, Arthur Ashe Foundation is a wonderful thing. And AIDS, the amount of money pouring in for AIDS is not enough, but it is significant. But if I told you it's 10 times the amount that goes in for cancer research, I also tell you that 500,000 people will die this year of cancer. And I also tell you that one in every four will be afflicted with this disease. And yet, for somehow, we seem to have put it in a little bit of the background. I want to bring it back on the front table. We need your help. I need your help. We need money for research. It may not save my life. It may save my children's lives. It may save someone you love. And it's very important. And ESPN has been so kind to support me in this endeavor and allow me to announce tonight that with ESPN's support, which means what? Their money and their dollars, and they're helping me, we are starting the Jimmy V Foundation for Cancer Research. And its motto is, don't give up, don't ever give up. And that's what I'm going to try to do. Every minute that I have left, I will thank God for the day and the moment I have. And if you see me, smile and maybe give me a hug, because that's important to me too. But try, if you can, to support, whether it's AIDS or the Cancer Foundation, so that someone else might survive, might prosper, and might actually be cured of this dreaded disease. I can't thank ESPN enough for allowing this to happen, and I'm going to work as hard as I can, you know, for cancer research, and hopefully we'll have some cures and some breakthroughs. And I'd like to think I'm going to fight my brains out to be back here again next year for the Arthur Ashe recipient. I want to give it next year. I know I've got to go. I've got to go. And I've got one last thing. I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind. It cannot touch my heart. And it cannot touch my soul. And those three things are going to carry on forever. I thank you and God bless you all.
It's one of the greatest speeches ever. Jimmy V in 1993. And to think what the V Foundation is today, and yet still it's not enough, because still we're losing lives and we've got to continue to raise money. Again, if you can donate, V.org, that's the place. Every cent goes to cancer research. It's why I love that and why I owe a lot to them, because I've been a person who has thrived based on all the advancements in fighting non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. We'll talk to Black and Abdallah coming up next. 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Sanctuary Golf Course, home of the $39 Wednesday special. Hope you're enjoying that today. It includes golf and a cart. For tee times, go to golfsanctuary.com.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Happy Moonwalking Day. Anniversary,
right, Adam. Up of Dallas Alley, too.
If you believe it.
53 years ago today, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong became the first humans to walk on the moon.
53 years ago today, the government released a video of someone on a soundstage walking across what was supposed to be the moon. Congratulations.
This sounds like it should be a fun conversation. Why do I have to be a loser? Just because I don't see it the same way as you?
That's fine.
What? It's not fine to call me a loser.
Believe everything.
I call you a loser because you didn't see it the same way I saw it.
Here's a picture of some galaxy far, far away.
That's good. That was pretty good, though.
Take a really close shot of the counter.
Of the countertop. Yeah, the counter. Here you go.
This is the new 4K camera that just got into space. And take a look at all the stars.
All right, I'll tweet it out and tag it. So new pick from space.
What are we looking at? Have you guys seen the Super Mario? This is totally off. The Super Mario Brothers picture that is a... You don't know if he's walking up the stairs or down the stairs.
I know what you're talking about.
It just came back. Like, this was a topic 2 years ago, and this week it was published again. Whether or not it's an optical illusion, and you have to figure
out. It's like the blue dress or the gold dress,
whatever it was. Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't have time for that.
Yeah. But it's whether or not Super Mario Brother is walking, Mario is going upstairs or down the staircase.
Like, if you look at it, they're both kind of moving, you can't really tell.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is that akin to the Bulls logo? If you turn it upside down, it's a robot.
A robot reading the Bible.
It's a crab. I thought it was a crab.
That's the X-rated version. The X-rated version, it's a robot doing something not particularly PG-rated.
Reading a book.
Really?
Right. There's two. It's the G-rated is it's a robot reading the Bible or a book. The X-rated version is it's a robot having its way with a crab.
Oh, okay.
And that's the music.
Going for a walk?
You got to look at the Bulls logo upside down.
Oh, yeah, because I see, like, the sad robot.
Yeah, you got to go upside down.
He ain't sad. He looks happy.
He's got to know, because the frown is right there.
So, what would you mean by having its way?
See?
He's reading the robot Bible is what he's doing. He's not doing it with a crab.
Well,
he's reading the robot Bible.
See, the crab.
He's got a very aggressive face.
Yes. Do you see that crab?
He's concentrating. Yeah.
Do you see it?
Yeah, he's...
Yeah?
I mean...
He's got the crab.
He could be... He's cracking it open. What are you talking about? He's gonna. That's what you do with a crab.
You're off the air.
You get the crack. You get the things from Bob Chin's Crab House, and you.
I don't think Bob Chin's. Is Bob Chin's still open?
Yes, it is. Yeah, he's no longer with us. He's no longer with us. Continuing. Bob Chin's is still.
My hillbilly ass had never had like any true like outstanding meal. Seafood as well.
Oh, we used to go every year for my birthday.
I thought Bob Chin's was like. It was like the treat of all treats.
Legendary.
Yeah. We used to go for my birth because they'd be like, where do you want to go for your birthday? And I'd be like, Bob Chin's.
Yeah.
Bob Chin's.
You wear the bib and you get the big ass crab.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Full ride today, boys.
Full ride.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about space. That's what we're doing.
I can't wait. I'll be listening.
Maybe Buzz Aldrin will call in.
Yes, maybe he will.
Yeah, we need Jane.
Neil Armstrong still with us? I don't think
We established some relationships, Abdallah, back in the day.
Agree with you? Jay doesn't agree. He thinks it's real, but he said he had someone on his podcast who believes it was fake because we lost some of the technology to get back. And it's like, how do you lose how do you lose how to get back from the moon and then have to rediscover how to get back from the moon?
Listen, you know what? At the end of the day, this is just a simulation anyway. So what's the difference?
Oh, absolutely.
That's right.
100%. Yeah. None of this is real.
Thank you to Billy Corgan. His big concert that you can watch a week from tonight for Highland Park. Check that out on the Smashing Pumpkins YouTube page. And Michael Wilbon, thank you as well to Jeff Mellor and Tyler Aki was back today. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday night.